This episode of the Android Central podcast is brought to you by Braintree. If you're working on a mobile app and are searching for the right payments API, check out the Braintree V.0 SDK. With one simple integration, your customers get every way to pay. To learn more and to try out the sandbox, go to braintreepayments.com/androidcentral. Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central podcast. It is episode number 248 for Friday, August 7th, 2015. How's it going? I'm Phil. Welcome to the Android Central podcast. Only three of us this week. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be dangerous. I was trying to come up with something else it could be that Russell wasn't expecting. Russell Hawley, everybody.
How's it going?
Well, you have a beer, so you're in better shape than I am.
I had a feeling today was going to call for it, so I pre-gamed a little.
It's going to be one of those podcasts. Jerry Hildenbrand.
Well, what up, people? I have no beer.
Jerry's very chill today.
I have no beer.
Andrew's out, like, camping or something.
He has my beer, probably.
Alex, I don't know what Alex is doing. He's probably sitting there just laughing at us.
He's probably napping because he knows what next week is going to look like.
Next week's not going to be that bad.
I don't know.
We'll see. If it's your first time joining us, hi, how's it going? We podcast every week or so. Usually every week. No less frequently than once a week. How about that? Occasionally more than... It's been a while since we did more than one a week, actually. Anyway, it's Friday afternoon. What should we do? You know what I want to do? I want to do things a little differently this week. I want to turn the entire podcast on its head. Are you guys sitting down? I know you're sitting down. I can see you. Everybody else, everybody listening to this, if you're not sitting down, sit down. I can tell there's like one guy out there who's like, no, I'm not sitting down. Phil, you're an idiot. Sit down. I'm serious.
You probably stood up just because you said
sit down. No, I want to start with the voicemails this week because it's been a few weeks since we've done voicemails. And I don't want to forget. I don't want to run out of time. So should we just do those? And not just to get them over with, but because I want to do them. Let's take our time. Let's enjoy them.
Let's do that.
Hey, before we do that, how about Jon Stewart last night? Did you guys watch it?
It was so good.
It was really good. And
I was really happy with how that happened.
Yeah. I mean, much better ending than The Sopranos, I thought. Probably a much more satisfactory ending than True Detective's going to be this Sunday. No spoilers.
But did Jax have to shoot his mom?
You know, I just finished that show recently.
Really?
I had never seen it before, and I started an episode and just like shotgunned the entire show.
It's the best over the way spring. To do it.
No
it
pun intended. So can we say what show it is out loud, or is that going to spoil?
It's been long enough. Months or something? Yeah.
No, it hadn't been that long, but
I don't know. It seems like it.
It's been like 4 months, maybe. Sons of Anarchy. If you haven't seen it, it's pretty incredible. And
starring me.
Actually, yeah. If you guys haven't seen it, Mark Boone Jr. looks just like Jerry. Every now and then, if we ever refer to Bobby Elvis, that's what we're talking about. So, yeah, you should totally go watch it if you have. Oh, I can't wait for The Bastard Executioner.
You know, that's why I started watching it, because you said, you look like just like that Bobby Elvis guy. And yeah. I'm like, no, you're full of crap. And then I watched it, and I'm like, God.
No, The Bastard Executioner is the next one from Kurt Sutter coming out. October, I think. September, October. Forget which. It's going to be good. I hope. We'll see. Anyway, voicemails. I promised to do voicemails. So let's do voicemails. Which means I got to come over here to do them. I don't know. Can I do them on the same computer? I haven't even tried yet. Wow.
Today's not the day to try.
I know. Q&A's going nuts already. Wow. We'll get to you guys in a minute. All right, so let's just do voicemails and get them going. We will start with, who is this? We will start with Devin.
Hey guys, love the podcast. Have a mostly subjective question. I use my phone for work all day, every day. I work in the service industry, and we have special apps that we use for work. But I was just kind of wanting your guys' opinion and your take on screen size. I know that screens are typically just getting bigger and bigger. And with your guys' experience, how well does a bigger screen add to productivity and getting work done as opposed to having a more pocketable device? Anything would be great. Love the podcast. Thanks.
Russell said he had some stuff on this, so let's just start with Russell.
I don't think screen size affects productivity at all. I think that, the notion that a larger phone makes you more productive, you know, Samsung has been touting that for years with the Note, and we've seen other manufacturers try it with other kind of larger format devices. I think once we cross that 4-inch threshold, that productivity stopped being a thing. I mean, yeah, I would say that like the Nexus 5 allowed me to be more productive than the Nexus 1 because the screen was a little bigger and I could trace around on the screen, and that was, you know, cool. But it's entertainment at this point. The larger screens mean that we can consume more media, that we can play more games, that we can do more fun stuff. I really don't believe that it makes us more productive at all.
Jerry?
Depends on, you know, a couple different factors of how well you can handle a bigger phone. It's easier to type if a phone's a little bit bigger. Let's be all honest here. The keyboard's bigger. The touch targets are bigger. It's a little easier to type. But once you pass that certain threshold where it's too big to reach everything, it becomes harder to type. The one thing where I'm going to say that Russell didn't mention, but I'm sure he understands, is you get a little bit older and your eyes aren't quite what they used to be. A bigger screen lets you read things a little bit easier. So in those couple cases, it could be a little more productive. But for me personally, I've got a sweet spot that I want my phone to be so I can carry it in my pocket and not worry about it. And I have not found any single time where I felt I couldn't be productive because my screen was only 5 inches or so instead of 5.5 or 6.
For me, it's always been more about the overall feel of a phone. It's going to be really interesting with this new Moto X. I mean, the screen's bigger, but it feels bigger. And it feels bigger than the G4. There was another phone that was similar to the size of the G4. What was it? What am I thinking? I don't know. I thought last year's Moto X did a really good job of meeting that in between of like big but not too big plus screen size. But I agree on the productivity. I mean, for me, it's more about, like, if I'm going to be productive, I'm going to use a computer. If I'm going to play games, I'm going to use a tablet. If I want something that fits in my pocket for communication, it's going to be a phone. That's my basic way of doing things.
Now, having said that, we don't know. He works for a company that has special software built that runs on his phone and helps him do his job. Maybe there is some software out there that could benefit from a bigger screen. But I haven't run across
that. Well, I mean, multi-window is the obvious.
Yeah. But I don't know. You all and everybody listening, you can hang me from a tree if you want, but multi-window, I've just got no use for that. Two tiny views is not nearly as good to me as one big view.
Same thing for like the S Pen for me. Like, I love what Samsung's done with the S Pen. I think that it's incredible technology, and I think it works really well. I just have no reason to use it, and maybe that's partly because of I'm just changing phones too often, right? I mean, when you only have like a month or two to use one, you don't quite live with it the same as normal people do. But that doesn't mean it's not really well done. It doesn't mean it's not useful. It's just not for me.
I still dig the Note 3 out from time to time just to doodle and draw because it does it really well. But agreed, I can type myself a note or dictate, you know, with my voice a whole lot faster than I can use an S Pen or, you know, that kind of stuff.
If I'm going to work, I'm going to pull out a computer.
Yeah.
Russell, that wasn't very controversial.
We wanted Russell to say mean things to make everyone mad.
Oh, well.
Well, you know, it's early.
That's the spirit.
Maybe right. This angry orchard is mellowing me out. I don't know.
Let's move on to Jalal. I think I said that right. It's been a while since I heard the name.
Hi, guys. My name is Jalal, and my question is about Motorola phones. Is it have the Type-C port or not? Thank you, and goodbye.
Short and to the point. I love that. The new Motorolas do not have USB Type-C, or even the fake USB Type-C. God, I went back and listened to last week's podcast. That was funny. If you haven't heard it, go listen. But no USB Type-C in the new Motos. A little unfortunate, I guess. But, I mean, it's early, right? Somebody's got to be first. Somebody's got to not be first.
I'm just curious what the EU is going to do about that.
How so?
Well, they like to make standards, and I applaud them for it. You know, they for the longest time you had to have an adapter in your iPhone, and you know, in the EU they want things to be able to use the same plug-in, the same cord on all things. And I'm just curious how they're going to take this new technology. And you know, they certainly can't make every phone manufacturer offer an adapter of some sort if you bought a phone already. I don't know what they're going to do.
Fair enough. Next one. And this is an interesting one from, and I apologize because I chopped it up a little because it was long, dude. This comes from Jared.
Hey guys, this is Jared from Massachusetts, and this is my question for the Android Central podcast. I recently downloaded Mighty Text from the Play Store. I don't know if you guys have any experience with that app, but I was pretty excited I could get all my text messages on my laptop and on my tablet. When I first installed it, I was asked to give my full Google account access to Mighty Text, which was understandable. But upon going online and looking at my Google dashboard settings, where it shows a list of all the third-party applications you've given access to your Google account to, I noticed Mighty Text wasn't on that list. I should be able to revoke that as a user. If you could let me know anything, that'd be great. Love the podcast, guys. Thank you.
So, I mean, Jerry and I, we got this voicemail a couple weeks ago, and Jerry and I poked around here and there trying to figure this out. Only thing I can think of is that maybe it was just under a different name and you didn't spot it. Because, I mean, if it's tied in your Google account, you should see it.
Right. User error aside, and I'm not accusing anybody of doing anything wrong. Sometimes we all make mistakes. If it's actually accessing your Google account legitimately, it needs to be listed there. If it's not listed there, it's not accessing your Google account legitimately. There's just no other explanation here. You know, I didn't see a whole lot of people saying anything about, you know, security issues in their Google account with this app. I don't know if, you know, maybe there was a bug in your setup or there's a bug on Google's end. I just don't know what to tell you, but he also mentioned in the longer version that he contacted Mighty Text and had his, you know, his login and all his data removed. And, you know, I assume he moved on to one of the other methods to get his text on his laptop. And that's the right thing to do. If something doesn't look correct and you can't find an answer, you do what you do to protect your own data and try something else. So, you know, I know we're not being very helpful here, but you did do the right thing.
Russell, you got any thoughts on that?
You know, I had never used the app before, so I, you know, I wasn't able to do any of the research. We, you know, heard the voicemail for the first time a little while ago, but it's, yeah, it just seems like one of those really weird things that it's, if it's really not doing what it's supposed to be doing, then just put it down and walk away. Like, there's definitely, if it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing, then it's a pretty serious problem.
All right, now we got one from Patrick.
Hey, heidi ho, Android Central. My name is Patrick, and I'm recording this on my Moto 360 from the fourth floor of the Comfort Suites in Florence, Alabama, which is the perfect setting for me to ask a very important question about the upcoming Moto X Pure Edition. I'm really looking forward to picking one of these things up. I'm going to be using it on Verizon. And I know that updates are supposed to come directly from Motorola, but I am curious at how that's going to be different on Verizon. I know that Verizon is really particular about updates and what's allowed on their network and what's not. So do we even know? Blah, blah. But anyway, thanks in advance for answering my question. And if you guys can't answer my question, thanks anyway. Keep up the good work. Peace out.
Well, can we?
Well, do you want to know a secret?
Yes.
Every update, even for a Nexus phone or even for an iPhone, if it has anything in it that touches any of the connectivity where you connect to a network, it's approved by the carriers. All of them. We just, you know, we don't have to wait because they have some sort of fast track system, I assume. But your update for your new Motorola Pure phone on Verizon's going to okay the parts of it that affect their network. And Motorola is going to send it to you directly. It's not going to bypass your carrier, and it shouldn't. There is, Russell, you've been around forever. You remember when the G1 was out, there was a messaging app that crashed T-Mobile.
Yep.
So we don't want that to happen. We want the carriers to have a little bit of input here. We just don't want them to quash and hold back updates because of things like City ID.
And remember, we've actually seen Verizon get some of the quickest updates out lately. Yep.
Moto X.
Yeah, exactly. Was it 2014 first. Moto X, I think? Yeah.
So
I'm working really hard to get permission to walk through the lab where they do this testing.
Mm-hmm.
And this process for all of the carriers is all super behind closed doors, and you know what Jerry and I know is mostly from talking to insiders who were not even allowed to give their names, or you know, just weird things like that. And it's I would love to know more about that entire process, and hopefully they're willing to share.
And I would think they would want to share. Let's be transparent and make everybody aware of what's going on. If you tell me a good reason why I have to wait an extra 4 weeks for an update from Verizon when the people on T-Mobile got it, let me know the reason. And if it's a good reason, I'm happy. I'm fine.
I mean, I can tell you it always comes down to money. But, I mean, how many people do you think they have to test all this software for all the devices from all the manufacturers? I guarantee it's not as many as you think.
And beyond that, you know, the point that Jerry just made, CDMA and GSM are not the same thing, and CDMA is a whole lot more complicated than GSM. So a lot of times, those kind of things take longer because they have to. Testing them is hard.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's the short and the long answer, I think.
If you got the first lollipop soak test for your Pure Edition Moto X, you know why it's good to test things. That update made a lot of people, me included, stop loving their Moto X.
I mentioned it last week, and I want to mention it again when I was talking to the SVP of software at Motorola last week. I mean, he flat out said, look, we got them out ridiculously fast. Maybe it was a little too fast. Maybe we should have slowed down a little bit, and not even through their own fault, just because of it, the software wasn't as stable as other updates from Google have been. And maybe they would have, you know, had an easier go if they hadn't been in, I hate to say hurry, but they were in a hurry if they weren't pushing to get it out as quickly as they were. So, I mean, there's no like good one answer to any of that. And we'll talk more about updates here in a minute, I think. But I mean, Motorola specifically, I think, has done it better than just about anybody.
And you know, in a month or 2 months, 3 months, we're going to start talking about Android M, and we're going to show you all this cool stuff that's in the final version. But when it comes right down to it, you can wait. You know, if you've got an update that's running good on your phone, it does all the things you bought for it, security things aside, it's worth waiting to get an update that's done right rather than, oh, I got the new features, but everything else stinks.
Yep. Finally, we've got one from Paul.
Hello, Android Central. Paul from Massachusetts here. I enjoy the podcast every week. Look forward to it. I think you guys are really awesome, especially Andrew, Alex, and Russell.
Hey!
I had a question about moving from device to device. Since you guys seem to switch devices fairly often, I would be interested in the procedure that you use when you're leaving one device and going to another, and how you preserve the apps and the credentials associated with them when you make the move. Thanks very much. Keep up the good work, especially Andrew, Alex, and Russell.
I don't know what you all paid this guy.
Is his last name Martonic or anything? That hurts. That stings.
No, we love Alex, Andrew, and Russell, too.
Not anymore. Or not as much as I did 5 minutes ago. All right, what do you guys do when you get a new phone?
I use Google Services and LastPass. LastPass moves over all my passwords. Google Services does the rest. Anything that falls through the cracks is stuff I obviously didn't need.
What do you do, Jerry?
I mean, other than what's backed up, like through Google, I start everything fresh, everything new, because I want to go through the setup process. If I'm switching to a phone, it's because I want to look at how that phone works. And I hate doing it, but I sit down and start from scratch. Now, I do keep my passwords. I use MSecure. I don't fool around with all that. I tap that button and copy and paste them over. But I sign into everything new. I don't, you know, that where you can touch the two phones together now and Lollipop will automatically sign you in. That's cool. But I don't use it because I want to see the whole experience.
Yeah, I tried, what is it, Titanium Backup. I tried that a long time ago. God, what was the one we used to use in the Windows Mobile days? I don't remember the name of it.
Probably carve it in a cave wall.
No, man, I had it down. Like, I had that procedure down. But yeah, I mean, it's gotten so good. Look, if your app does not properly sync data already, you know, don't use it. Yell at the developer loudly. Because, I mean, it's 2015. They don't need to wait for Google to implement this automatic backup in M. I mean, for me, it's I load up Dropbox, I load up 1Password. Although I'm starting to save some passwords back into Chrome just to see what happens when we get all this new M stuff. Well, remind people what's coming.
Oh, well, it's by default, apps are going to back up to your a special place in your Google Drive that's protected storage. Right now, developers can support that style of backup, but with M, that's the default. A developer has to actually turn that off or it will just happen.
Well, but there's new stuff coming with passwords too.
Oh, well, it's you can use the credentials that are stored if your phone has the right hardware and use your authentication in more than one app.
Right.
So we don't know exactly how that's going to work yet, but it sounds like a great idea as long as it's safe.
Yeah, I'm starting to save, you know, as I'm going back through things and Chrome says, hey, you want us to save that password for you? I'm saying yes, and I can delete those at any time.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's 1Password for password management. Everything else just kind of logs in. I mean, I can't think of anything that flat out just quits on me and I lose whatever I was doing. Every now and then you get a game that does that, and that's unfortunate. And after a while, I just don't play those games anymore.
A couple of my favorite games, they do it really well through Facebook. Wonder why they, I mean, is it a popularity thing? Or maybe Google's developer tools for using, you know, Google Plus, Google Play Games, and Google Drive. Maybe their development tools to implement that just aren't as good. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. That'd be a good question to ask some people. I know some people we can ask. That's a good question. But yeah, I mean, I can be up and running in, I don't know, 20 minutes and like be back to relative normal. I mean, and honestly, it takes longer. Like it's just a time thing, right? The amount of time it takes to suck all that stuff back down. I mean, give me an hour and I've got a phone pretty much back to normal. It's passwords, it's keyboard, because just I got to have a good keyboard. And then it's all the social crap. And as long as I need like a second device of some sort on me. I forget what phone I bought. I bought a phone somewhere at the store and they gave me a new SIM card and I didn't want them to do that. And I couldn't log back in because I use two-step for everything. It's like, oh, okay. So I was running around for like an hour with some new SIM card and just, it was a mess. I forget why. Why couldn't I log in? Now I don't remember.
Well, if you didn't have Authenticator on another phone...
That's what it was.
...or SMS to a known number, yeah, you can't log in.
That's what it
was. Unless you can get to a computer.
I think. But yeah, I mean, otherwise, that's all I use. So it's... As long as I can get to that second authentication thing somewhere.
Right.
And actually now, where do I have it? Where do we get the YubiKeys? Oh, they gave them out at Google I.O.
Yeah.
And so, like, I've got this on here as a nice... I don't use it for everything. I use the phones more. I use the codes. But this is a great backup. It's not quite as easy to plug in places as I'd like it to be. But
well, you know, I use it for my Google account, but I have the real little one that sits
even smaller than this
USB port. Yeah, it's like, microscopic.
Oh, wow.
It's just the tip of that.
Huh. Phil.
And it has a little metal thing on the end. I just tap it.
In the little plastic case that that card came in, you have one of those.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, it's a little tiny chip.
Oh, it's, wonder where it went.
It's hard to get out if you plugged it into something with a deep USB slot.
My kids probably helped. I have
a string attached to it.
That's got to look great.
But they're also, if you can look online, it's something if you want to play with things. You can use those keys in your Android phone as long as it has USB on the go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's our voicemails. We did them. Send us more.
They were good voicemails.
They were.
Keep them coming.
Like, seriously high quality. No one was in a car on a freeway or anything like that. Like, it sounded really good.
Yeah, I'm surprised by the ones that are recorded on watches, actually, how good they sound.
Yeah.
Definitely send us more. podcast@androidcentral.com. Just record your question and send it our way.
And be sure to tell Phil and Jerry that we're great.
Tell us your name, where you're from. By the way, Florence, Alabama, you know it's right across the river.
Give us your address, so if you don't tell us that we're the best, we can come find you.
Muscle Shoals. You guys not... Jerry's got to know Muscle Shoals.
Oh, I know. I've actually been there. I don't live close like you do, but I made the trip.
Well, I mean, it's like 7 hours away from me, too. Yeah. But
yeah, it's a... Is it still as big a deal as it was when I was a teenager?
If you don't know, we're talking about Muscle Shoals. I mean, some of the best music ever came out of there.
Well, they have a big beach festival.
Oh, that I don't know about.
Or do they not do that anymore?
I don't know. I mean, it's a river. That's not the beach.
Oh, I feel so old.
All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to venture back into the doom and gloom of things that are both doomy and gloomy. Hang on. Be right back. So perhaps you've heard about Lynda.com. That's Lynda, of course. And Lynda is for problem solvers, for the curious, and for people who want to make things happen. Maybe you want to master Excel, or learn negotiation tactics, or build a website, or boost your Photoshop skills, or maybe you just want to make the world's greatest waffles. Okay, that last one's not on Lynda, but it totally should be. The point is, you can learn nearly all the things from Lynda.com. Maybe you just want to get into Android development. Lynda will get you started. Check out Developing Android Apps Essential Training. Or maybe you want to get into the Internet of Things. Then head on over to Programming the Internet of Things with Android. Want to learn more about a phone? Then Lynda will walk you through the beginnings of the Samsung Galaxy S6. Me, I use Lynda all the time whenever I get stuck in Photoshop for pictures or Final Cut Pro for video editing. You have no idea how many times Lynda has saved me. And with a Lynda membership, you'll learn from top experts who are passionate about teaching. You can stream courses on demand and learn at your own pace. Plus, you can download tutorials on the go and watch them at your leisure on Android or iOS. Your Lynda.com membership gives you unlimited access to training on hundreds of topics, all for one flat rate. So whether you're looking to become an industry expert or just want to learn something new, visit Lynda.com/AndroidCentral and sign up for your free 10-day trial. That's Lynda.com/AndroidCentral. The more I think about it, that was kind of a poor teaser. It probably made people not want to come back.
Well, I can't think of what's doomy and gloomy.
Everything is both doomy and gloomy. Do you want to do the doom and gloom, or do you want to do some of the Q&A first?
Let's do the Q&A so I can find a shot of something.
I'm sure that the Q&A will lead us into the next topic.
So. I'm going to start at the bottom. Mark says, "Traitor, burn Phil at the stake." He's probably referring to my Crackberry shirt I'm wearing.
Phil Berry.
It's a great shirt. It's comfy. It's a shirt, dude. Relax.
Is it that Heather Gray in the name of that color?
Uh-oh. Jamie says, "People are going to think the podcast is over. I forgot to change the time. It says 2 o'clock from last week." Although, Jamie's here listening. So, maybe I didn't. That said, I totally forgot what time it was today and tried to start the podcast an hour early. So, I don't know. I'll fix it right now just for you, Jamie. Ready? And save. There. Fixed. Done. Woohoo. Jean-Paul says, "We hate big screens. We're biased. We need someone like him who thinks the Moto X in 2013 was just way too small."
All right. I mean, that's fine, but let's have a private conversation about what it is that you do on your phone. I guarantee you that it's mostly entertainment.
That's how Russell alienates people and makes them angry. Go, go, go.
I
agree. That's so subjective that...
Yeah.
And I've run the gamut from the the Z3 Compact and the Nexus 6, carrying them both at the same time. And, I mean, I have an opinion.
Wendell wants to know, do you think Project Fi had any impact at all on Verizon's new service plan rollout, or was it all T-Mobile? Verizon today, well, yeah, I haven't even read the story yet. They blew up their plans, right?
Well, yeah, I think it was a way for Verizon did a lot of legwork and found a way they can make more money. That's what it always is. That company is so good at making money, it's easy to say, well, T-Mobile shook the industry up. Maybe.
Let's see. Starting August 13th, they have like four buckets. Small is $30 a month for a gig of shareable data. That won't get you very far. Medium is $45 a month for three. Large is $60 for six. Extra large is $80 for 12.
Let's be perfectly clear about this whole T-Mobile shook up the industry thing. Anyone who has seen the last rash of commercials from Verizon, it's pretty clear that they're trying to get some of these people back. Like, these commercials are pretty much exactly targeted at people who switched to T-Mobile and realize that, oh, the service isn't, like, even half as good as Verizon when you travel in certain places. And that's true. T-Mobile's got a service issue when it comes to certain places. But, yeah, I mean, Verizon is really good at making money, but they're feeling this T-Mobile thing.
Best thing you can do still, I think, is just ask around. What is a carrier like where you live? Reddit's really good for that, I would think. And I've helped people in the Pensacola subreddit on that. And I tell you, T-Mobile's a lot better here than it used to be. And I mean, it used to be unusable here.
Don't make the mistake of going into these carrier stores and looking at the phone and testing the network. I know people that have done that, and these stores have machines in the back that make the network strong in the store.
Yeah.
So just don't do that.
And that's not cheating. I mean, they should have good networks in the store. But, yeah, not the same. Jean-Paul wants to know, what the hell is that ugly S6 Edge Plus keyboard case? Evan Blass leaked one on Twitter today, I guess. That looks like a big, giant keyboard case.
If that thing ends up being real, there's no way to make one of those attractive.
No.
I mean, like, let's just accept that and move on.
That's really all I have to say about that.
Jean-Paul is back in my good graces. Yes, that's hella ugly. Is that the new BlackBerry Android hybrid? What the hell am I looking at? Get that out of here.
We'll find out.
It's bad, but there is no way to make one of those pretty.
No.
If it works the way that I think it does, there is no way to make that pretty.
Find out Thursday, I guess.
Not to say it's not a great idea.
But it is a hideous piece of plastic.
Right. There are a lot of people who are going to not care about the ugly factor, and they're going to say, this will make my note better.
Oh, yeah.
Network says, sorry, Phil, but Jerry is most best, knows about Android DeepSide, and he knows how to explain and give more info about things. I completely agree.
I love you, guy.
I'm still going to give crap about it, but I completely agree. That's why I hired him. Here's the trick about this job is to hire people smarter than you. That's the trick about most jobs, I think. So I just steer the ship a little. I steer the ship a little. These guys are rowing the oars. he also asks, hello, Jerry, can you explain the phone encryption and how it works? Whether or not the phone is rooted or unrooted, and if someone steals it. Let me try that. Can I try this?
Sure, because I think you can get this right.
I think I can get close. All right, so phone encryption, you have... Oh, I'm totally going to screw myself up because I'm looking at myself here.
Put your hands down and use your
that'll
words.
Help. That was my... Is it double encryption or just... All right, so the bits and bytes, as they are written to your phone, they are scrambled. They are encrypted. And it's hardware encryption, right?
It's hardware and software.
Okay. So if Jerry were to just hand me his phone and I were to rip all those bits and bytes off, they're not just sitting there like, this is Jerry's username, this is Jerry's password. That's all scrambled, and you have to have the encryption key to unscramble that. Now, where does that encryption key live? What keeps the cops or bad people from, you know, just anybody from taking your phone and being able to decrypt that?
That encryption key changes and is generated on the fly when you enter your credentials to create a key that matches.
So like every time you log into the phone or...
I'm not going to say every time. I don't know 100% of when and how often it gets generated, but there is no one key that you generated when you encrypted your phone. That's different, and it's encrypted. It's a token. It's not actually a key. But go on. You're there. You're there.
So rooted and unrooted. I mean, when you say root, you're just talking about basically access to a folder. And that's, I mean, it's permission to see what is inside this folder or group of folders, right? Or this level of the system.
Right. Every folder and every file has a list of what users can access it and how they can access it. When you say root, that means that list doesn't apply. I can do whatever I want.
So if you can do whatever you want, and if you can see that deep into the phone, is that the same as being able to decrypt a file?
No.
Or will those files still be encrypted?
Those files are still encrypted. You can just copy them, add on to the end, or delete them, but you're not going to be able to access them without the correct token.
And theoretically, somebody would not be able to decrypt them. And this kind of gets into our security thing we'll talk about in a second. But as far as I'm concerned, anything that is encrypted is able to be decrypted at some point if somebody wants to bad enough.
There are people out there who just take extreme joy out of breaking encryption. They reverse engineer things. They use, you know, just general know-how to find the algorithm that the encryption routine uses. And once you know what formula it uses to turn your passphrase into an encryption key, you can generate any encryption key you like.
Talk about it more in a minute. But like my basic philosophy of all this computer stuff is somebody is always... able to, you know, if they want to bad enough, they will be able to see what I'm doing. They will be able to have all my stuff.
It's a matter of trust.
If it's connected to something, somebody can get through it. Somebody can get into it. And it's, I mean, I keep going back to Citizen Four, and if you haven't watched it, I mean, it's incredible. No matter how you feel about the whole thing, and I'm still very conflicted about the whole NSA thing, but at the basic level, if it's on a computer, somebody will probably be able to get to it somehow if they want to bad enough. Doesn't make it right. Doesn't mean I agree with it. But it goes back to the celebrity nude leak stuff too. And like I get why saying don't take pictures like that is not the right answer. And it's not the right answer. But from a logical point of view, if something does not exist, then somebody cannot see that something.
Well, and you also... it may be more worthwhile to spend your time and energy to look at naked pictures of pretty celebrities than it is to look at Jerry's email. That's something we always need to keep in the back of our head, too. Just because something can be encrypted, you know, make it difficult to crack the encryption, and then when your payload isn't worth the effort and time involved, that's an extra layer of security.
Be boring.
Well, I'm not going to say that, you know, Phil Nickenson doesn't have secrets that I want to find out. I'm sure you've got something if I thought hard enough.
Sure.
But, you know, am I going to spend thousands and thousands of man hours to try to break into your Google account and decrypt, you know, one of your files so I can find that secret? No, I'm not. Somebody might, but I'm not.
Russell's over there hacking us right now.
Probably. I'll just tell you the password if you want to see my nude photos.
Every now and then I'll send a phone I forgot to wipe to Jerry or somebody. He yells at me.
It makes me just...
Yeah, he does it to me too.
As fast as I can factory reset, and then I go through an extra and wipe it all, re-zero it. Phil, the next guy may not do that.
I know. I think I've said before, I accidentally sent an SD card. I gave a phone away, and the SD card that was in it had been used in the phone that I had with me when my second daughter was born. I wish I remember the guy's name, because it's ridiculously nice that he sent it back to me.
Yes, it is. Those are pictures you want to keep, and pictures your wife would kill you.
No, they weren't even, like, bad. They were, you know,
they weren't, like...
No. No, not, like, as bad as, you know, during the birth that you might think. No. No, I mean, and actually that goes back to, I'd kind of like to have a secondary source of security on Google Photos now, I think, actually. That would be a nice option to have. All right, let's do some more Q&A. We'll get into the more security stuff in a minute. Ashish,
but I want to say you did a great job explaining encryption.
Thank you. It was a little clunky, but so is encryption.
You got it there. You did a great job. Can I have a raise?
Yes. Ashish says, I think the Moto X Play, the one not coming to the U.S., is coming as the Droid Turbo. What do you think? I think you are absolutely correct.
Yep.
At some point, in some form, yeah. I mean, that was like the unspoken thing at the Motorola event was, it's not coming to the U.S. We'll have more conversations about more phones later. And then today, we actually got a leak from Costco inventory. They had something called the Turbo 2 on there, which is really not surprising at all. I totally expect something with a bigger battery, but still the same sort of software in the Turbo style.
I just hope Motorola makes a GSM unlocked world version of that phone eventually. Yeah,
maybe they'll do it after Verizon gets its stuff out the door.
Maybe.
Chris says, so the new Nexus has been rumored that it'll be a Snapdragon 820 or a Helio X20. I don't even know what that is. What is that?
Huawei process.
Tell us how you really feel, Russell. Fair enough. Could you see an Intel-based Nexus as an Intel-based developer phone?
Please?
Yeah, that would make me really happy. Like,
Why?
I am madly in love with Intel processors right now. The Intel processor and the Dell tablets that I've been messing with are exceptional. The Intel processor, the low-end, like real low-end Intel processor that's in the Zenfone 2 that Jerry's been messing with is exceptional. You know, it's something that, you know, we laughed at Intel getting into the mobile space, I guess, 5 years ago. But I mean, the past year has been huge for them in terms of performance. And I would love to see an Intel Nexus. I think it would hurt Qualcomm in a big way to see something like that happen.
Everything is there. Battery life needs a little bit of a tweak. And a way for developers to leverage the different instruction set that and optimize things better for the Intel processors. And for that, you need a reference phone with a good generic Intel processor in it. Bring me a Nexus with a nice little Atom in there. Just a dual core Atom, sell it for $350. I'm buying it. I hope every developer buys it.
But to my previous lack of a point, we haven't even seen 820 reference kits yet. I don't even, you know, we're so far away from 820s being sold to manufacturers to be put in phones, and we're expecting the Nexus in like October or November. That math doesn't add up. I wouldn't count on it.
John Paul says he had to decide between the G4 and the GS6, and he went with the GS6 because of Andrew's angry flame piece on the G4.
That's fair.
Wow. I mean,
Andrew did a great job writing in that.
I thought he did. No, and there's a reason why we wanted him to write that.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can't disagree with his personal opinion. A lot of his gripes, I'm right there with him. And, you know, the camera is the saving grace on the G4. But some of them software just janky nonsense. Just makes me want to cringe.
I do want to know what Jean-Paul uses as a battery backup every single day of his life forever, though. I would like to know what, just, you know, so we can compare notes to see which one, if it's like the same one I use.
Apply ice to burn generously.
And I agree with Jerry, and I think I might have given the G4 software a bit of a pass. I need to go back and read what I wrote in that second opinion. But yeah, there's a lot of not good going on the software side. Both in UX and performance at this point.
It's all fixable. And as a whole, I think their new iteration of their software could be better once they fix these glaring issues.
And I tell you, Russell, talking about lower-end processors, it's a week in, and Jerry brought up the very good point today when we were talking that we need to, you know, use this thing for a month and see what happens. But the Moto G guys, I can't stress enough just how good it is for a $200 phone.
I can't stress enough how much nicer it runs than the G4, the Galaxy S6.
Yeah. Now, again, it's week one versus, you know,
and
3 months.
Not,
but
it's only doing a third of what those phones do. I do understand that.
But, I mean, you say that like it's, you know, something that LG couldn't. I mean, LG doesn't have to have its flagship doing 5 million things.
Nope.
You
know, nope.
Motorola's shown that.
I'm going to assume that LG and Samsung have done their research and those are the things people want. I'm just not one of those people. I don't want them and appreciate the difference.
Doug wants to know if it's going to be worth upgrading from the Nexus 6 to the Moto X style. It depend. For me, it's going to depend on that camera, I think. That answer. Can't answer it yet.
If it's the camera, I can answer for you. No. Because the camera improvements in M and the extension of the camera to API, they're going to carry over to the Nexus 6, which is basically the same sensor, and Motorola is using none of that and has no plans to use any of it because they have their own. Maybe theirs will mature and it'll turn out better, and then Jerry will be completely wrong. I do want to throw that out there. But I still, if camera is what you're interested in, maybe both of these phones are not the ones you should be looking at.
We're going to, on Instagram this weekend, just share a bunch of the pictures that we've been taking with the Moto G.
So right, because they're way more than adequate.
And we're not going to, like, filter them all out. I'm just tossing them up there as a place for people to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, for you know, little Instagram pictures, they're not bad at all. All right, one more break. When we get back, doom and gloom. Get ready for it. It's coming. It's coming. Okay, so maybe it's not news that supported open source is now widely accepted at the highest levels of enterprise computing, but the extent of adoption is probably broader than you think, and most of the open source running in elite data centers is Red Hat. And it's more than just Red Hat Enterprise Linux, too. Red Hat offers storage solutions, cloud computing, and everything you need for application development. It's all open source, and it's all enterprise grade. And the stats are eye-opening. Red Hat runs in every executive department of the U.S. federal government, every airline, telecom giant, and healthcare company in the Fortune Global 500, the New York Stock Exchange, and every commercial bank in the Fortune 500. In fact, more than 90% of all the companies in the Fortune 500 use Red Hat for everything from the critical to the routine. The only thing that's really surprising is how many people, and these are people who know a lot about technology, don't actually know this. It's almost as if Red Hat snuck in, got comfortable, and quietly transformed the technology business without making a fuss. Sometimes the most disruptive technology is the stuff no one notices at first. To find out more about how Red Hat is quietly redefining enterprise technology, visit redhat.com. Red Hat. Build on it, run with it, count on it. All right, let's get into it. Daniel wants to know, what is your fix for the Android security issues raised by Ron Amadeo in his article yesterday? And it's not just Ron, but, you know, I thought Ron addressed many of the issues with the big giant update at the end after Google reminded him that there's more than one way to do security. Here's what's going on. If you've been living with your head in the sand for the past week, Android is the worst OS ever, and it's full of security holes, and it's not good, and that's true, but it's also not necessarily that the sky is falling and the clouds are burning. And Jerry, what's going on? Hug me.
Well, as soon as I can find my Jim Beam.
No, I'll give you, like, you know, while Jerry pregames for this, I'm particularly annoyed with some of our colleagues across tech media right now, and not just for this week. This week, every week that Black Hat happens, you get the same security paranoid articles because the people that are giving this information at Black Hat are giving it without a filter, and they're not being cross-checked with security analysts. They're not being, you know, cross-checked with professionals. It is pretty much from the mouth of the person giving the exploit, whose job it is to sell the work that they are doing, not a bad thing, just what it is, to people who are basically copying and pasting it, and that's the result. This week, every year, is the result.
And that doesn't mean that all these security alerts are bad. It's good that it's coming to light. It's good that it's being addressed. But yeah, a lot of the times they're given without context. I was having a conversation on Twitter yesterday with our friend J.R. Raphael and Chris Mims from the Wall Street Journal about this one about fingerprint, being able to steal the fingerprints directly off devices, specifically of Samsung phones. And the story said it's fortunately only limited to devices with fingerprint scanners. Yes. But finally, eight paragraphs into the thing, it says, oh, by the way, it's been patched already. Well, okay, I mean, look, disclosing security holes is good. Disclosing them after the fact, I have no problem with. But these stories, literally, these stories are written bass-ackwards so many times where you need to start at the end of the story and work your way up. to see what's actually important and what's not just, I hate to say sensationalized because it's an overused word in publishing when you're attacking something and not really thinking about it critically. But yeah, it's, you know, has this been patched? How many devices does it affect? How easy is it to exploit on a device? You know, what are the steps that have to be taken? And that's so often.
And the first thing you do is any one of those that requires me to have access, touching physically your phone, you throw that out. Because if I have your phone, I don't need to exploit it. I'll get in there. I don't have to send you an MMS with a malformed video. I'll get in there.
It's a mess. And this week doesn't usually bother me because it's part of the industry. It happens every week. I think part of what has bothered me this week is that I'm remembering the three big developer conferences that we've had this year for Android, iOS, and Windows, and how these same people that are shouting from the rooftops about how terrible this stuff is are making fun of people on stage talking about code because they're not revealing new features or showing off, you know, new phones that are being released. You know, Google and Windows, or Google and Microsoft specifically, they dedicated a lot of time on stage and in front of cameras talking to developers about code and stuff that they can do to make their apps better. And Apple's kind of the show as usual, but the same people who are basically mocking continued development are now shouting from the rooftops unintelligibly about the stuff that's happening. And it just kind of coalesces into this weird migraine that I get because it's not this shiny new thing, so it's not worth talking about. But it's at the same time it's a serious lack of understanding and appreciation for all of the work that actually goes into making these things happen.
I didn't suddenly become a security expert this week. I'm not a security expert. I have no idea what these guys do day in and day out. And just because I hear the bad stuff this week or last week, like, that doesn't make me any more of a security expert than I was before. I don't think that makes things any less safe than they were 2 weeks ago. I mean, some of these we're talking about flaws, and I'll say flaws on purpose instead of bug or exploit or anything. Some of the stuff has been, you know, relatively dormant for years and hasn't been exploited. That doesn't mean it doesn't need to be fixed. That doesn't mean it's not serious, but it doesn't mean the sky is falling either. And I think it does a real disservice to the people, the unsung people who work in the security industry and have to deal with this stuff day in and day out and don't get so much as a thank you from anybody for all the things that work. It's like it was the old joke about the CIA, right? You only hear about them when they do something wrong, or, you know, any number of industries. I don't know why the CIA came to mind there. But yeah, I think it's lazy is all it is.
Well, it expand on that. Who's lazy? What's lazy?
I think it's lazy from the publishing industry. I think you can do these attractive shouting stories that lack context, or I really don't want to think anyone is leaving out context on purpose for the sake of making a point, but I can find examples where arguments are being made to fit the conclusion,
yes,
but are ignoring evidence to the contrary. And that's just not good. I get that I fall on the wrong side of that discussion a lot of times, where I would rather just go ahead and use this stuff and trust the people who make it to protect me, but I'm not an expert in it. Guys, I run a website that writes about this stuff, you know, years later, months later after it's out. I don't know how it works. Jerry's pretty good at this stuff. He's not a security expert.
Nope.
Russell has a beer. Nope. He's not a security expert.
I do live with a security expert.
Oh, do you? That's a little different. Oh, well, that helps.
I just, the biggest thing that irks me about all this is everybody says Android is going to crash and burn, and it's because Google this, 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 and this. What do you want Google to do? Google finds these exploits. They get, you know, they have a bug bounty program. Other people find them, report them. They patch them. They send the patches downstream. And then what do you want? Do you want them to get in a plane, go to Korea, drive to one of these manufacturers' offices, grab the engineers by the throat, and beat them until they send you the fix?
I get that updates, you know, I'm trying to think how I want to phrase it. The update situation is not as good as anyone would like it.
No, not in the least. But you can't point... That's not how open source... And I don't want to say Google is the model of an open source company with Android. And if you're an open source nerd, you know exactly what I mean. If you're not, they don't do things super transparent. But that's how this works. This is our source code. We're giving it to you. There's certain licenses you have to follow. Do whatever you want with it. And part of that is not, okay, you do whatever you want with it, except this, 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 and this. And then you take it a step further. Okay, these are the things you have to do to install Google's special services that aren't open source. They can't force manufacturers to stick to certain update schedules, not touch certain parts of the software that is open source, or the regulators are going to knock them down to the bottom and Android is dead. I just want to know from all these people who wrote these stories, you tell me how Google's going to fix it. If you can't tell me that, your piece isn't worth reading.
I don't have the answer.
No, I don't.
I wish I was smart enough to. If I was, I wouldn't be doing this for a living.
But you know who else doesn't have the answer?
The people
who compare Android to Windows as a security model.
Yeah.
Give Russell that raise and let me hug him.
the narrative that Ron spun, and he's not wrong. There are issues that need to be addressed. But his whole narrative comparing it to Windows, I took serious issue with. Especially the parts about how Windows has a single line of code that they are a single batch of code that they work with, whereas Android has multiple batches of code for everything. No, Android has one batch of code that gets worked with and that gets picked up and modified. And I don't know if you're familiar with Windows XP or Windows 7 or Windows 8 even, but it was a lot of the same thing where manufacturers picked up Windows, they modified it to support their needs, and that's how a lot of early Windows security issues in Windows 7 and in Windows XP and in even in Windows 8 took place. It was those same vulnerability points that are happening right now with Android. So it's not, Microsoft is not more secure in the way that they manage their code base and the way that they update things. They have a little more control nowadays, and Google isn't going to go that route because it's not the same path of execution. We're not talking about an apples to apples comparison here.
I would like to think at some point Google does kind of blow things up a little bit and doesn't necessarily and hopefully does it in a positive way. If you want, we are creating this new repository that will push code more vertically. What I'm trying to say? To make it easier to get updates pushed through.
First off, we're not picking on Ron.
No.
Ron is a really smart guy. I read everything he writes. And this man, if Phil told me I had to write that article that Ron wrote, Phil, you know the four-letter words that I would throw back at
you. Read another rehash of this fingerprint thing, literally right as we're podcasting, and it's just horrible. It's so bad. There's this, we didn't talk about certificate.
Well, because there's nothing worth talking about.
Tell you, here's my question. If Android doesn't implode and crash and burn and explode and melt and any other thing you can think of, if that doesn't happen in a year, what's your answer to me then? Just wait?
Well, and that goes back to I'm not pointing fingers at Ron. I know what it's like to have an editor that tells you, what issues you want to tackle while you're writing a story. And I more than likely Ron did the best job that he could do to write a story without having all the facts, because nobody has all the facts. None of this stuff is transparent. We have to guess so much, and I just want people to know we are not picking on Ron.
Maybe I'm being lazy and taking the easy road and not trying to. I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't know. But me, Phil, personally, I'm not gonna. I can't spin that narrative. I'm not gonna stay up night working about this. I'm not gonna stop using Android just because it's Black Hack Week and this stuff is coming out. And it goes back to what I said earlier. I think anything digital like this, any sort of computer, any sort of phone, any sort of tablet, isn't of itself inherently unsafe because it's made by people and people are imperfect. I think it's going to be a constant cat and mouse thing between the people designing, you know, code and the people trying to break it. And that's just, that is the world we live in.
But that's what we need. The issue arises when people who understand all the nuances of what they're talking about have a conference and talk to each other about it, or they report these bugs. Those kind of people should be talking about this. The Google security team and the guys giving speeches at Black Hat. The issue comes when Phil or Jerry or Ron or Russell, when we step in, we know half, two-thirds of what they're trying to explain to us. We don't have all the facts because these companies don't like to share some of the information.
And they shouldn't share some of the information. Right.
And we're trying to write, you know, a journalistic piece rather than a scientific piece. That's where the issue comes. And I hate to say we shouldn't do it. I just don't know how the best way to do it is.
I don't know that I mean, personally, I don't know that I don't think I could do it. I think the closest I can get to it is, you know, Jerry and I have worked not long and hard, but pretty steadily on our stage fright post, just to give people the best information we can give them without blowing it out of proportion, without editorializing it too much. And I probably went a little too far in our initial post on it, actually. But yeah, I mean, I don't have an answer. And I think pretending I have an answer when I don't, even if I have an idea of what I think maybe should happen, I'm not educated enough in how this works to do that. I like to think there are a lot of good people out there working to make this stuff as safe and as good as possible, and that in the end, and that day in and day out, they win.
Well, you know how we're going to do it next year?
How?
I'm going to Black Hat. I'm going to repeat the words that these people say. I'm not going to inject any of my ideas into it. I'm going to say, here is the situation. Here is directly reported by company X. Here is the response by company Y. And then I'm going to say, this is how many phones are actually affected in the wild. And we can't, you know, I can't give you any more than that. The rest is just me making a guess.
And again, we're not, I'm absolutely not picking on any one person or publication here. I think it's a systemic thing this week. It's inherent to the state of publishing these days in all sorts of any number of realms, not just Android, not just tech stuff.
I do want to pick on Ron for a second. That picture, man, come on. That picture of pushing Android down into the fires of hell. Come on, man. The hands reaching up. Dude.
I would have just like a Slayer CD cover or something.
Well, the picture was awesome, but it just...
No, I tell you, I picked up my wife from the airport last night and got home and turned on the Republican debate. And I was flipping around on the internet and watching Twitter and all that stuff. And like the top thing on Google News is who's being searched for the most. And it's so just many popularity contest, vanity metric stories up there right now. And it's like and watching Jon Stewart, you know, do his thing for the last time last night. And it's like, is this what we're reducing politics to? I think politics are important. I think talking about this stuff is important. I think arguing about it is important. I think Twitter is a horrible place to do it. But, like, are we reducing politics to this popularity contest and just these BS stories? Are we reducing security to this sensationalist, oh, my God, this was broken. It affects a billion devices, only not really, and we'll tell you about it eventually if you can make it that long. But we know most of you can't, so buy our stuff. Like, that's... it makes me sad.
Well, it's... A lot of the people out there, this is the same tactic that began 20 years ago with Windows 95. Scare tactics, scare people to buying your product to protect you from things. And you, in the end, it made people so blasé that the real threats got lumped together with all the skies falling chicken little stuff. And that was no good for nobody. And I hate to see that happen for Android. We'll be right back.
I think that's a good place to call today. What do you guys think?
Well, we got to pick one happy
okay
from the Q&A.
One more. What is Russell drinking? A special craft beer? Asked Jeffrey.
Nah, just a crisp apple Angry Orchard. Nothing special.
Do you want one more?
It's not even actually a beer. People will tell me that it's not a beer. They'll yell at me and say, how dare you say you're drinking a beer when it's a cider? Whatever.
Pick one more question, Jerry.
Well, that one was fine with me.
Okay.
Ending on beer is always good.
As we are every week, we are brought to you by shopandroid.com. A lot of stuff coming up in there. Keep your eye on it. A lot of good things going on. So next week, I don't think we're going to do a live show on Friday. I think we might do it on Thursday instead. Maybe just after the Samsung event so we can discuss it quickly and timely.
Well, we can type it all on our little keyboard.
Yes. Wow.
If they hand them out at the event, I need it. Like, I have to know how it works and
how far it can fly.
We need to compare it to like the actual old keyboards that we had on phones. Actually, that's what you should do. You should bring a G1 with you to the event.
I'm not going.
Oh, that's right. You're not. This is Andrew.
Yeah, Andrew's doing this one. Andrew and Mark.
If you put a G1 in Andrew's hands, he's going to cuss you for the rest of the
I could send him my Q9H.
There you go.
Oh, I love that. I miss that phone so much.
I'm sure I got an old beat up BlackBerry Curve that looks just like the new keyboard.
If you're not following us on the Instagram, go do that. Go follow us on the Twitters, all that stuff. Am I still the only one who says hi to people on Twitter in our account?
Probably. Pretty much.
That's probably the way I want it, huh?
You know what? As little as I use Twitter, I should just log in on our account and I can answer questions and tell people hello. I'm going to do that.
Oh, somebody says, and I see your name this time, sir. That's called cheerleader beer.
Okay.
I like cheerleaders. I like beer. I don't know. Whatever.
It tastes good and it makes me nap when I have a lot of them. So,
yay.
Whatever.
All right, so look for us to podcast next Thursday. I don't think there's anything else weird going on next week.
Quick, Doug says, you guys like and use Nova Launcher. Is the $499 upgrade worth it? Yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yes. Prime?
Yes. If you're going to get into Nova Launcher and spend the time to set it up, you're going to find it's something that you're going to use. You back up your settings. You can transfer them from device to device as long as you have the same apps installed. Spend the $5. You're going to use that stuff. Just do it.
Plus, it'll make your phone feel like a transformer.
More than meets.
I'm running Nova Prime. Just sounds good.
Prime. All right. We will be back next week with lots of Samsung-y goodness, if not more stuff. Who knows? We'll see. Jerry, Russell, thank you guys.
It was fun. It wasn't nearly as terrible as I thought it was going to be.
No. I think we came out unscathed.
Yeah.
Mostly, so far. I'm shutting down the internet for the weekend, though. Can't be too careful.
Oh, I'll have OnePlus stuff next week, too.
Oh, that's true.
I'm sure everyone will be super excited to hear what I have to say about that.
Woohoo! All right, we'll see y'all next week.
Later.
Adios.